is in love with you. Can you put up that Jeremiah 31:3? Let me see if I got it right. Israel met God, looking out for them. And God told them, turn around and tell them, God never quit loving you. And never will. Folks, I'm trying to find a way to convey you the message that Jesus is absolutely nuts about you. There's no other way to put it. Jesus is absolutely nuts about you. So much so that Psalms says, I think it's 34:17 says, the righteous cries out to him, and the Lord hears them in no time. So before I start the teaching tonight, is there anybody here with prayer need? I want you to stand up, because we're going to agree. I want to hold you by the hand and teach you how to walk. In faith, that is. We're going to pray for revelation. That's all. We're going to pray for revelation. Yes. That God will speak to her tonight yet. Amen. God wants to speak to five of you tonight as yet.
Amen.
Y'all didn't hear what I said.
One of them.
God wants to speak to five of you tonight as yet. Let's agree now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, yes. Sister Bessie is standing on proxy, yes, for someone. I pray for divine revelation. Yes. And I pray that you may set her free from the spirit of religiosity, yes, and all the bad teachings that they have had all their lives. I don't know if it was intentionally or that the others didn't know what to say and end up saying nonsense. So I pray for freedom, for a breakaway, yes, from the spirit of religiosity. And I pray for divine revelation. Lord, may it be that as you visit Saul while he was in jail at midnight, visit this sister at midnight, Lord. As for the house and the other stuff, it's on your hand. Just visit her, because we know that when you visit people, life change. The Apostle Paul is one of them. And we could go on and on. So we pray for you to visit her tonight, yes, to reveal yourself to her tonight. Not for her to become a new preacher and start her own ministry. Just to have fun with you, knowing that you are the loving Father that, yes, you are. Speak to her tonight, Lord. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father God, right now, we agree for this couple here, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to them in the early hours of the morning. Father God, I agree with them that you will, Lord, in a very distinctive way, show up at their bedside tonight yet. And they'll have visions of God. And Lord, if there's anything hindering this from happening, in the name of Jesus, we dismantle it, yes, right now. Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I rebuke the spirit of accident.
Yes. Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I rebuke the devourer,
yes,
and the grasshopper, Jesus, the locust and the conqueror. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak joy, yes, and peace, amen, of the Holy Ghost upon these lives. Lord, thank you for keeping my sister from the worst on that accident today. Amen. Thank you so much. Reveal yourself to them tonight as yet, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We pray for supernatural manifestation of the Holy Ghost upon this life. Lord, speak to her in language of heaven. That she will wake up speaking in tongues. Just agreeing with the angels. In the name of Jesus. And if there is any flaw on this body, we command it to be restored right now. Back to normal. In the name of Jesus. Every cell and tissue that has been damaged either by sickness or by surgery, we command it to be restored back to life. We command it to regrow in the name of Jesus. And by the power invested on the name of Jesus, we speak life, divine health into this body. In the name of Jesus. We break and we dismantle, we void any legal claim that piece of garbage called devil may think he has upon this body. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command angels to do heavenly surgeries on whatever has to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Father God, we pray for the little one. You see that she has a boo-boo on her foot. In the name of Jesus, we command it to be healed and restored back to normal. Right now, in Jesus' name, we command the pain to leave and to depart. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father God, we speak life into the lives of those that she's standing on the gap for, her parents. We speak life, eternal life unto their lives. We bind them into the kingdom of God and we break the yokes right now in the name of Jesus. And we command that the light of God may shine upon their lives and that a new day may spring up in their lives. That they may come to know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior, and live whatever days they still have in a victorious way, Lord. You came for them. So we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, just as you reveal yourself to Shaul of Tarsus, you may reveal yourself for my sister's parents, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We command them to come into the kingdom of God. We bind them into the kingdom of God. And we don't want to wait until they're going to die. We want them to come much before that. That they may be like the tree planted into the house of God. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We speak a miracle to the eyesight. In the name of Jesus. We speak a miracle on the eyesight. We command a new eye from heaven to come and be placed on her face right now. The retina and all the cells and tissues that were damaged in the name of Jesus, we command it to go back to life in Jesus' name. Wake up and go back to life and work in the way that God intended you to work. In Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hallelujahs. Hallelujahs. You are the God of gods. God, God of Israel. We speak now, Lord. Divine intervention of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural revelation from above, Lord. By the power invested on the name of Jesus, we pray for a complete and total change of mind. And I pray that you may visit her tonight. Speak to her tonight. You know, Lord, when you show up on the picture, it can never be the same. So we are in agreement right now. You visit Sister Janet. Tonight as yet. Very simple way. And you will speak to her. and you give her peace and joy, understanding from above. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, she'll have visions of heaven, even as tonight yet. In the name of Jesus. Let her see herself through the eyes of God, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say, I've got my miracle. Come on, guys. Say, I've got my miracle. There you go. I couldn't quite figure out what God was doing. You brought your Bibles, right? I couldn't quite figure out what God was doing. It's impossible because He's God, you know what I mean? So when God put things together, it doesn't quite make sense. But experience has taught me before, go with the flow. At the end, everything falls together into place. So we had that series on curses. The curses that came from the parents unto the children, blah, 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 blah. You all know what I'm talking about. So, I want to teach about the doctrine of the church. I wanted to teach you guys about the tabernacle, about the temple. I mean, this is something that I'm aching to do. Not yet. All right. Enforcing the laws of the kingdom. And this is what we started today. And if you are not here this morning, make sure you pick up one of the bulletins. There is an insert in there. If there's not, it's on the top of the table. That will tell you what the kingdom of God is all about. And then I was instructed to prepare 5 sermons for tonight, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and Sunday night. And one of the sermons was when unbelief keeps us away from our blessings. What? What does anything got to do with anything? Do it. Yes, sir. So after sitting down and waiting, it was downloaded on my soft drive. I don't have a hard drive. I'm not a computer, but I have a soft drive. Few thoughts which I wish to share with you tonight. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. There is a very, very powerful scripture that is very often quoted, but people don't have a deep insight of it. Okay, talk to us. Hosea, 4:6. Says, my people are destroyed. Why? Well, I'm thinking, Lord, what in the world does this has to do with unbelief? You know, I've been told to speak to you about when unbelief keeps us away from our blessing. Then I've been told that there are 2 kinds of unbelief. There are 2 kinds of unbelief. First kind of unbelief is the unbelief that is based on the lack of knowledge. And here's the scripture. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I'm still having a hard time trying to put this thing together. Then I was told to go to Romans 10:17. I'm going to tie the whole thing together. I was told to go to Romans 10:17, and it ties with Hosea. If the people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, it says in here, so then faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Those who have not heard, cannot have knowledge. I'll say it again. Those who have not heard cannot have knowledge, and therefore they cannot believe. So there is unbelief as a result of a lack of knowledge. Before I knew anything about the Holy Ghost, I would have beat up any Pentecostal that would have showed up on my path. Because I didn't know about the Holy Ghost. Just like the sister you're talking about, she thinks that she has to suffer. You know, and there's a stupid teaching going out there that, oh, you have to suffer because God is bringing you close to Him. Got to be sick for a while so you can become more Christian. That's baloney. That's doctrine of demons. If this is the God that I'm serving, that will make me sick for me to get close, I don't want Him. I will come close to my God before He makes me sick. How many of you know that faith is a choice? You know that? Trust is an option. Faith is a choice. I can choose to trust somebody or not, but I have to make a choice if I believe God's promises or not. It's plain and simple. So when people did not hear, they cannot believe on something that they never heard about. Are you with me here? So many people are missing out their blessings through unbelief because they have never been taught about the great things that God has for them. And you know, many people don't believe the word simply because they know nothing about the word. Many people don't believe in the spiritual things because they don't know what the word of God teaches about the spiritual things. Many people don't believe in prosperity and they are living from paycheck to paycheck because they don't know that God is interested in blessing them to be prosperous. You don't have to be a genius. It comes with the package. No, it does not. It does. 2 Peter tells you in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it comes with the package. So a lot of people do not believe in prosperity because they don't know. So they are unbelievers because they don't know the word. Listen to this. As His divine power has given to us all God always intended for you and I to be prosperous. I don't read in my Bible that He had an old stinking garbage garden for Adam and Eve. Doesn't the Bible says, and now I want you to get this. A lot of people don't know why. The reason that the Bible says, and God created so and so and so, and He saw that it was. The reason that it said it was good is because God, from the get-go, always had in mind the best for you and I. And now, through Jesus Christ, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So people don't believe in prosperity. Somebody told me, oh, you're just the kind of preacher that name and claim it. I said, no. I am the preacher who reads and believes it. It's on the book. We have been blessed with all that pertain to life and godliness. How does that happen? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, if these folks have not heard, because they don't know what God's word teaches about prosperity, they can believe something they don't know about. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. You know, a lot of people who do not believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they don't believe because they're just ignorant of what to believe. They don't know, so they cannot believe. So what is the cure for this kind of unbelief? Get to know the Word of God. Get the knowledge of the Word of God. Why is it so complicated? You know, we have time to do everything, but not to get to know the Word of God. Are you with me here? So what is the cure to unbelief that comes as a result of ignorance of the Word of God? Get to know the Word of God. And then start speaking the Word of God. And then watch, get out, and let God be God. You know, if there's something that you will never be able to do, it's be God. Only God can be God. And sometimes it's just smart to pull back and let God be God. Plain and simple. So the first type of unbelief is a result of lack of knowledge. The cure for this type of unbelief is get to know the Word of God. Now, there's a second type of unbelief, and that one is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 6. The King James says better than anybody else. The other kind of unbelief is mentioned here. Let's read it. Seeing, therefore, it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not, because the Greek unbelief word in there, the Greek word for unbelief there is apatheia. Say apatheia. What is apatheia? Apatheia is disbelief, obstination, rebelliousness, in the word that I have a hard time speaking. I was kind of unpersuadableness. Unpersuadableness. Apatheia is mostly like most likely translated as unbelief, obstination, disobedience, and unpersuadableness. What are you talking about? The children of Israel, referred to in this scripture, could not plead in innocent due to ignorance because God had told them to go in and possess the land. So they had the knowledge. You with me, right? In addition, they sent spies into Canaan to spy out the land. And when the spies returned, they gave them the report that the land was flowing with milk and honey, just as God had said it was. So far we have no ignorance here. Are you with me? Brother, can you put the NIV on here? Watch this. Over here is called unbelief. NIV. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. So why do you call it unbelief or disobedience? I want to use the stronger part of the Greek word, unpersuadableness. So what are you talking about? The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4:11 a very interesting thing. Listen to this, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore Be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience or unpersuadableness. Oh, my Lord, this is a hard word for me. So what you're saying, preacher? The children of Israel knew what God said, but they could not be persuaded to act upon what God said. The second type of unbelief is that kind of unbelief that knows what God says in the Word, but we will not allow ourselves to be persuaded to believe in that Word. That's what the Bible called unbelief. They had the knowledge of God's Word, but they could not be persuaded to act upon God's Word. They were unwilling to allow the Word of God to govern them. And you know what? There is much of this kind of unbelief among the Christian world today. There is a great unwillingness to allow the Word of God to govern our lives, which is in pure essence a refuse to act upon knowledge. We know what the Word teaches, but refuse to act upon it. And you know, the most common excuse given to it is, oh, that's from the Old Testament. Oh, that does not apply to me. Really? So why are you fussing when your spouse is out fooling around? Oh, they cannot do that. Who says who? The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I thought you don't go for the stuff in the Old Testament. How come now you're quoting the Old Testament? Are you with me here? Believing is an act of will. We can act on the Word if we will. Believing is willing to do His will, and His Word is His will. Disobedience is an unpersuadable attitude toward the Word of God. I will not allow myself to be persuaded by the Word of God. Thus, unbelief is either ignorance of the Word of God, or it is unpersuadableness to act upon the Word of God. So the cure, as I said in the beginning, for the first is knowledge. The cure for the second is obedience. And many times God asks us to do things that we don't want to do. Isn't that right? We don't want to do it. As I speak about this type of unbelief, I want to tell you about the cousin. I want to tell about the cousin of apatheia. Apatheia has a cousin. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-I-A. That's unbelief. And this one has a cousin. What is the name of her cousin? Mental faith. What? Mental faith. We should take a look at something that is very related to apatheia or to unbelief caused to the rebelliousness and the undesire to obey the Word of God. That is called mental faith. The mental faith believes only what he or she sees or feels. Are you with me here? This is crazy. I never heard something like that, man. You're crossing the line now. I'll prove it to you right now. Mental faith will believe only in what we see or what we hear. This kind of person is in a very tough situation. Why? That person is where God cannot reach them. But Satan can get in at any time. And who is that preacher? Mental faith is one of the most dangerous elements to faith that there is. Why? It sounds so religious. The mental faith will go as far as to say, I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. It will say, I am contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Yet, these individuals cannot act upon those statements. Somebody may ask, how can I tell whether a person is really a believing person from the heart, or if that person has a mental faith? The person who has mental faith will say that the Bible is true, but will not act upon it. Faith is acting upon the Word of God. To declare that God's word is true, to say that God cannot and will not fail to help us in times of crisis, and then to turn to the world for help in a serious matters, is a characteristic of somebody who has mental faith. It will open the door for deception and defeat by the devil. Because the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. It's just like somebody is with a, no brother, Jesus is still healing. I believe in healing. And we stand up on the line with me and we'll be praying for people. And then when the first symptom comes, we need a surgery. Instead of going to God, to that very God that the person is preaching about and talking about and trusting God for the healing, they go under the knife on the very first opportunity that they have. This person has a mental faith. So you're saying that we should not have a surgery? I'm not saying anything. I'm showing you the two kinds of unbeliefs that we have on the Bible. You know, somebody said once, it takes guts to believe what God says. And it does. It does. When I was told by a physician at Johns Hopkins that I would be blind for my right eyes, I was talking to my mother over the phone. She said, how is your health? Great. Why every time I ask you how is your health, you say great? I said, because by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. She goes on, so you're telling me you have no sickness? But no, I do not. Nothing. Nothing. Liar. I said, mother, I don't lie. You want to tell me that you have no sickness whatsoever? I said, no, I do not. Although an eye doctor said at Johns Hopkins that I'm going to be blind in 90 days on my right eye. See? I said, whoa. Hold on. Hold your horses. I am not denying that the sickness exists. I am denying the sickness the right to exist in my eyes. I went to do my annual 3 months ago. And I told the doctor, I was told like 12, 13, 14 years ago that I had glaucoma in the right eye. I said, I can't find no glaucoma here. The doctor cannot find any glaucoma in my right eye. Mental faith will say all the words. But then when the tough time comes, they run to the world. This is why God cannot reach them. Why? Brother, can you put up there for me Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. You know, folks, it's very easy to declare that God's word is true when everything is running all right. What about when the crisis comes? What about when the storms of life rage? Isn't God's word just as true then as it was when the sun was shining brightly upon our lives? The mental faith may say that God cannot fail, that his word is true, but when things are going well, but when things start collapsing, well, I thought that he could do that, but he didn't do it for me. Mental faith. If we really believe in God's word and have no unbelief, when we have that desire to be persuaded by the word of God, we will be just as steady when the clouds have overcast over our lives, as when the sun is shining above our heads. Listen to this. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age. Can you give me the NLT there, brother, please? That's easy. Let's read it. Satan. Mental faith, we'll be saying all kind of nice words. But when the storm hits, they run to the world. The problem when you run to the world has a God. And who is that God? This is why it's a dangerous position where God cannot do anything. So what do we do, preacher? I don't want to be a mental faith guy. Well, just laugh. Just laugh. When you've been told by a physician that you have cancer, laugh at it. You're asking too much. If the cupboard is bare and there is no food in the house, just laugh about it. Why? Doesn't the Bible say, the Lord is my shepherd and? Didn't David say, I was young, now I am old. I have never seen a righteous man, nor. So why we panic? Mental faith. When we put faith to work, laugh at it. Just laugh about it. That's all. And sometimes it's tough, you know, sometimes it's tough because it hurts our pride. Just laugh at it. I can't. The man said I have cancer. Well, yes, you can because he says that he is your healer. You can laugh. Preacher, you don't understand. I've got 3 kids and there's no food on the refrigerator. If God used ravens to bring food to Elijah, he can use a raven to bring food to your family. I told you this. One time we were traveling, doing a conference way out there in the middle of the Amazon jungle. 700 people were saved and healed at the same time. 300 healed, 400 saved, 700 people. It was a night that I will never forget in my life. It's midnight, close to midnight. Service is over, we jump in a little Fiat. Not like the ugly one you have here, it's a little bigger than this one here. Four big men singing and rejoicing. And after we drove some 3.5, almost 4 hours into the jungle, the car stopped right on the top of a bridge. The nearest house is 4 hours away. Anyway, either way you go, it's 4 hours away. And the gas station over that side don't work during the night. So it's a brand new car. So we are looking, when they look at the gas gauge, empty. It's a great. We forgot to put gas. The young lad in the back, well, we just saw what Jesus did, and he did convert wine into water into wine, didn't he? Yes, and oh no, please. Pastor, there's a container on the back. If we are upon a bridge, that means there's a river down below. Why don't we do this? We are four. I'll go all the way down below. I'll fill up the jug and I'll hand it to the brother here, then he hands to the other one and he hands it to you. And we're going to fill up this thing with water. I tell you, my heart is boo, 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 boo. It's not like boom, boom. No, it's boo, 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 boo. But you know what? Here is an opportunity to show that you don't have a mental faith. You know? So we go, and we go, and we go. There we go. 30 liters of water. 10 gallons of water on that. I'm thinking, Lord, please help me. I don't want to be a Thomas. We wait for the young lad. Well, you guys already prayed? No, Junior, we're waiting for you. And we lay hands on that car. And we prayed. Lord, here we go. Boom. The car started. With the tank full of water. Guys, I drove that car for 3 long days on a tank of water. When it was running out of water, it started jerking again right in front of a gas station. When they look at the needle, empty. Now we fill up with gas and we went our journey. You know, mental faith will say the right words, but when the difficulties and the problems come, we run to the world to look for a help. That is called unbelief. The problem when we run to the world for the help, the world has a God, and that God is Satan. It is easy when you have $100 in your billfold, in a good bank account. It's easy to say, praise the Lord, he meets every need. Isn't that right? Isn't he wonderful? He's supplying all my needs. But when the bank account is wiped out, the pocketbook is empty, and the bills are facing us, it's a different matter. Isn't that right? For people who have mental faith, they will panic. I know somebody that was one of the leaders in one of the churches up on the street. When you hear that person speaking, you get scared. And then once the difficulty hit one time, that person went to sell blood in the Salvation Army. At such times, the mental faith drops back into the Thomas mode, the Thomas kind of faith, going by what he or she can see. And the problem with this, people who have mental faith can see the needs. They can see the storm. And the only thing that they can see is the storm and the needs, but can't see the God who is behind the storm. I'll give you a tip right now. Brother, can you put up that 2 Corinthians 5:7? If you forget everything that I told you to do today, I want you to remember this scripture. And if it's not marked on your Bible, please make a note of it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by believing, not by seeing. How can that make a difference? I don't have to see this building done before I believe. I am believing right now because I will see what I believe. Plain and simple. I don't want to be destroyed by unbelief. Now, the Never Inspired Version puts it in a very interesting way. Even the Never Inspired Version has it. We live not by sight. What that means, if there is a tumor here, I will ignore it. Because I live by what I can't see. I live by faith, not by sight. Mental faith will live only by what they can see. Mental faith cannot acknowledge the one that is behind the storm. So what you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying is I am not moved by what I see. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not moved by what I see. What do you mean? I'm not moved by what I feel. Because if I would be moved by what I say and by what I feel, I would have given up my faith a long time ago. I am moved by what I believe in God's word. So if God's word says that I am blessed, guess what? I am blessed. It doesn't change. Well, but there's no buts and whats. If God's word said that I'm blessed, end of story. I am blessed. End of story. If God says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, I'm still seeing with his eye. I have no tumor in my brain. I have the heart of a child. And so we'll continue. It's not by feelings. Well, no, by what we see. It's by what God's word speak. We live by faith, not by sight. I wonder what the Message Bible says on this thing. I didn't check. It's what we trust. Trust in, but don't see, that keep us going. Wow, that's good. I like that. It's what we trust in, but don't yet see, that keep us going. And this is why I'm saying, this building will be so gorgeous by the time that we finished. I was walking today here, and the Lord gave me an idea. I like that. Next month, I'm going to buy 300 of these chairs, maybe 400 of these chairs, 400 more. You can have only 168? Yes. So what? Once we finish, if I can keep it, I'll put it inside the truck. Until the rest of the parking lot is built and we put it back in. And then we're going to divide on 4 stacks. Like you have 2 sides here, 2 aisles here, right? Well, the new building is going to be more or less like this. We're going to have 100 here. There's going to be an aisle, a big aisle this way, big aisle that way, big aisle that way. And there's going to be a big space more or less like this one here. They're going to have another 100 over there and another 100 over here. You know what I'm talking about? And let God be God. Plain and simple. Let God be God. I don't see it yet, but by the eyes of faith, I'm already rejoicing on what's going to happen on that new building. Because we do not suffer from unbelief. We live by faith. So if Philippians 4:19 says that God shall supply all our needs, guess what? He will supply the needs. Right now I need $459,000. And you know what? By the time they finish doing this parking lot, there will be $459,000. Plain and simple. How? I don't know and I don't care. I mean, old people is the one that worry about things. I'm too young to be worrying about stuff. So if God says that God will supply all our needs, we need $459,000, guess what? It will come. Even if a raven has to bring it up, it will be here. If the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, every single penny needed for this construction will be here. Somebody will say, well, preacher, you don't understand. It's not easy when you are in pain. Huh? It's easy for you to say that, but it's not easy when you're in pain. Well, I'll tell you this. Every time that pain tried to take over my body, I get angry. I got angry at the pain, and I curse it out. Get out, you piece of garbage, you idiot. Get out. Not here. Keep going. In the name of Jesus. And the pain goes. Don't you believe that God's word is true in one time as it is in another? Don't we believe that God's word is the same forever? Or that it is established in heaven forever. So when the sickness hits our physical bodies, our senses will tell us, I'm not well because I'm not feeling good, so I'm not healed. That's not walking by faith. That's mental faith. Walking by faith, we say, I know that I'm healed in Jesus' name despite of what I am feeling right now. You know, I think that each one of us should use a kind of creed, a kind of individual life confession. You should adopt one. Create one for you. What do you mean? Well, I told you, when the people ask, how are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. That's my creed. Because my Bible backs me up on that. What do you think about you? Tall, and handsome. That's my creed. My Bible backs me up on this. Are you with me here? When hit sickness hit, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Keep going. Looking for another body. We should create, folks, a life slogan. That's not biblical. Oh, yes, it is. Watch this. Brother Harry, can you put up the Acts 27:23? The Apostle Paul, when he was shipwrecked on the way to Rome, and all hope that those on the ship should be saved, when that all the hope was gone, in the midst of a seemingly hopeless situation, the Bible says that Paul stood, and this is what he said. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Now, mind you, this fellow is in a ship, going to Rome. They got lost, storm, lightning, thunder, and then the ship hit the bricks, breaking pieces. There's only a little piece left, everybody's in there, and he stands up and says, hey, folks, I know it, there's no hope here. But last night, an angel came to me and was right along my bedside, and he's the angel of the God that I serve. And this angel had a message, which is in verse 25. He went on to tell what the angel said to him. What was it? That every man's life would be saved if they would listen to him. And he concluded by saying, verse 25, brother. Therefore, take heart, man, for I believe God, that it will be just as told to me. Wow. I don't understand. Okay, let's read the whole thing. Brother, put 23 again over there. Watch this. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, 24, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Verse 25, therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me. Are you with me here? The New King James says it very well. No, the King James. Could you put it in the King James? Watch this. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me. The opposite of doubt is having the ability to be persuaded by the Word of God and believe in the Word of God even in the midst of a shipwreck at midnight. The opposite of unbelief, apatheia, is the ability to be persuaded that God is able and capable to do what he says he will. Are we still together here? So, preacher, what is the conclusion? We're going to cast out the spirit of Thomas from our lives. Say amen. I believe that each one of us should create a statement of faith. Wherefore, we shall say, sirs, I believe God. And I believe it shall be even as it was told to me in the Bible. When the doctor tells you have cancer, sir, I believe in God. And I want to stick with God and His Word and believe as I am told in the Bible. The disciples said to Thomas, we haven't seen the Lord. Y'all remember that? But Thomas said, I don't believe it. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his sides. Then I will believe. Well, Jesus certainly did not commend Thomas' faith. It was a mental faith. He would believe in what he saw, in what he touched. Isn't that right? So Jesus gave Thomas a sweet rebuke. This is one of the things that I love most about Jesus. On his rebuke, Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen, now you believe, get this, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Amen. We're going to cast out the Thomases of our lives. So what is the conclusion of this whole thing? There's two types of unbeliefs. Say amen. Amen. The first type of unbelief is the one that is a result of lack of knowledge. And that one can be cured by getting to know the Word of God. The second type of unbelief is the inability to be persuaded to act upon the word of God. And the cure for this type of unbelief is acting upon the word of God, even when everything else looks crazy. Wrapping up tonight, Galatians tells you and I that you and I are a different breed. Listen to Galatians 3:7. Therefore, know that only those. Okay, third grade. So let's read it again. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Why do I want to be a son of Abraham? Here's the answer. Same chapter, verse 14. Just scroll it down, brother. Verse 14. Therefore, we know that only those of faith are sons of Abraham, right? That the blessing of Abraham might come. So that's you. Is that right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what you're saying? When you came to Christ Jesus, you became a child of Abraham. Are you with me here? And as a child of Abraham, the blessings of Abraham are supposed to come upon you. Say amen.
Amen.
We will not allow Thomas' faith to swipe our lives. We're going to rebuke Thomas. We're going to rebuke mental faith. And even when our senses and our bodies and our will and our flesh refuses to believe, we're going to act upon the word of God. So why do I want to be with Abraham's blessing? I just want to be blessed as myself. You ain't going to be blessed. Because you're either of the faith or you're not. And if you're the faith, from the faith, you're a child of Abraham. And if you are a child of Abraham, God wants the blessings of Abraham to come upon you. And we all know what the blessings of Abraham is, right? Genesis 13:2. We love that scripture, don't we? Don't we like Genesis 13:2? That's the blessing of Abraham. This brings me back to what I said to you in the beginning of the service. God is not about you, because Abraham was. Touch your neighbor and say, how are you doing, rich one? Y'all don't believe, huh? How are you doing, rich one? Amen? How are you doing, rich one? Am I right? How are you doing, rich one? Abraham blessings supposed to come upon you and I by faith. We're going to kick out Thomas' faith. We're going to kick out mental faith, which is unbelief. And we're going to act upon the word of God. Very often our lives are like the shipwreck of Paul's life. And he experienced an actual storm at sea. In the midst of the storms of life that come to us, when it seems that all hope is gone, if we walk by feelings, it would seem that the Lord has forsaken us. But we know that he hasn't. Because we walk by faith. And we will be able to say, sirs, we believe in God. And Joshua 1:5 tells us that the storm will pass very soon. How? No man shall be able to stand before you few weeks of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. In the middle of this storm, we're going to kick out of our lives Thomas' faith, and we're going to stick with the faith of Abraham. Say amen.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the apathy of faith. We don't need that kind of faith in our lives. Thomas' faith, mental faith, we don't need that garbage in our lives. Father, we give you now the freedom to invade our hearts and take away apathy out of our lives. Because we want to live like Abraham did. In the precious name of Jesus. Give us the strength to dare to believe and act upon your word, even when all hope seems lost. Give us the ability to stand on your word and act upon your word, even when nobody else will agree with us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Cicero.